Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a special guest on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some notes. This woman is a host, a blogger, a marketing director. Ladies and gentlemen, Vanessa Rubido, a.k.a. Be the Plug.
What's up?
How you doing, queen?
I'm good, you know? Living the life, enjoying today, grateful for today.
There you go.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
Oh man, life is good. Can't complain. Sleep is for billionaires, you know, and I'm still moving.
I stepped into the building and you were just, you know, on calls, like, you know.
Had to wrap it up, you know.
Yeah.
From one meeting to the next, you know.
Yeah. So sleep is for billionaires, okay? So I'm new to this, right? So usually they say sleep, you know, no sleep, no sleep. But you're saying sleep is for billionaires. What was that? I'm not like interviewing you or anything like
that's
that.
That's fine. I love it. So basically you want to know where
the concept came from. Because people think opposite, you know?
So sleep is for billionaires. To me, it's more so a mindset of staying in grind mode until you reach your ultimate goals. You know what I'm saying? Not just the mini goals in between. Because some people get content with those in between goals and they celebrate like they got to the ultimate goal, but no, you ain't done yet. The work is not finished. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I want to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
So I'm not sleeping until that comes, but I know when that comes, I'll probably be working even more because that's just how I'm built. You know what I'm saying? But in actuality, that was the title of my or one of my albums, that current album I have out now, is titled Sleep is for Billionaires. And I was just so attracted to that slogan that I made it a brand. So, right, I turned it into a podcast and I wanted to have a niche message, which would be, you know, expressing that motivation with some swag when it comes to the music. As far as the podcast, I wanted to just shed light on the how-to tips on how to really make it in the industry, in whatever industry you're in, as an entrepreneur, industry professional, or celebrity, for those looking to really come in the game and, you know, take those positions one day. Because, you know, that information is more so, you get that information from those who went through it versus reading a book about it and stuff like that. So that's why when I bring people like you to the stage, it's more so to give that game for the future generation. So with that, so the Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast, the album, the second album, Sleep is for Billionaires, part two is about to drop. I'm writing a book called Sleep is for Billionaires, which is more so doing reverse psychology on yourself to motivate yourself with your own goals so you keep you going. You know what I'm saying? Because prior to my entertainment career, I had a sales career for 10 years. And at the end... And the last 4 years of the 10, I worked as an admission representative at a medical school. And the way the structure was designed where we would interview prospective students and throughout these questions, we will basically get a list of all their desires, interests, and motivations to succeed. And at the end of it, we will recap it and basically put a mirror in front of you like, yo, you said you want to do this, 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 and this. What's stopping you from doing it today? And we will utilize that method to light a fire under their ass to get them to enroll in school. You know what I'm saying? So basically, that I'd use that same formula in the book. So you're basically utilizing reverse psychology on yourself to self-motivate.
So the title is for reverse psychology. Sleep is for billionaires instead of sleep is not, right?
Correct.
That's like reverse psychology.
Yeah. So that's that. So that's, you know, I didn't want to get too deep and philosophical with it. But, you know, that's just... And now I'm just turning it into a brand. You know, we got the merchandise, we got the hats, got the coffee mugs, got the t-shirts for the guys, the ladies, the kids, the hoodies, you know, and all that good stuff.
That's right here.
You know? Yeah, I feel like this is the V the Plug show.
It is not. No, it's not. Not at all.
But it's cool. We can
converse. I just got to show love, like, you know?
I love it.
That's a unique idea, and I think in in this world where we live in, we always are trying to compare our ideas to other people's, you know, but really it's about reaching that inner light of what is it that you really want and being comfortable with proceeding to do what it is that you really think. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of people get stuck when they're developing themselves and their businesses. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're living out that idea and running with it is key to being successful. So
I agree.
I applaud you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's been a journey. Yeah. It's been a tough road. It's been a long road. I mean, because people look at me and they be like, yo, you're doing your thing. Yo, you making it. And I'm like, I personally feel like I'm just scratching the surface. Like, you know.
I feel that way too.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, because this shit, I've been doing this shit like chasing this dream for like 20 years. You know what I'm saying? People don't see that. They just see what I put out today. Mm-hmm. You know, a new interview. Or like, oh, dang, maybe he just interviewed this person. Oh, you made it. And I'm like, man, listen, though. This has been a constant grind. No sleep for real. And it's like, I'm still gone.
Yeah. It's just conversating, but on camera, on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you've always been conversating with people in your ideas and what they do and what you do. But now it's about reaching other people since we have all these platforms to kind of dip into.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The beautiful thing is that now we have more control on how we distribute our content. You know, YouTube made it possible for anyone to be a filmmaker now. You know, Spotify made it simple for anyone to become a rapper now, you know, and put your music out, or TuneCore, rather. Yeah. They distribute it for you to those big platforms. So, you know, I think we as content creators should take advantage of those platforms, especially if it's free to use.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what scares me.
Why?
Well, not to get too into it, but...
Get into it. This is what this is about.
Have you... Okay, I recently watched Brain Hack. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No.
Boy. Oh, okay. You have to watch it. Well, we all know about the privacy and consent of what we give Facebook, right? Mm. They have all the rights to use whatever we put out, whatever messages we like, what people we follow. And according to this documentary, it's based off of the election of, you know, President Trump's election, and how they kind of manipulated the system of social media to win over Trump winning. So basically they're using, if I'm explaining this right, they're using social media to target people who can be persuaded to vote according to Trump or vote for Trump. And when it comes to Facebook owning all of our content, they can manipulate us to kind of do anything. Mm-hmm. So for an example, you know how they had, or the ads pop up of, oh, what's your personality? Mm-hmm. And then you take it and you're like, oh, this is interesting. Or like, who's your match in life? Whatever, you know. Quizzes like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They use that to define what markets to tap into and what people, what age you are, what ethnicity you are, and kind of decide what, you know, where you could be persuaded, if that makes any sense.
Interesting.
it's very broad but specific in the sense that they're using this system to kind of handpick people. From the world.
Yeah, man.
Manipulated,
you know? Yeah, I mean, well, that listen, data is king right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
we're just giving this content away, and a lot of people don't read those terms and conditions when they apply to YouTube and Facebook. Yeah. They're just excited to put their content out, but they're really releasing the rights to these bigger platforms, and it's like, well, it's like, what are you going to do if you're not going to start your own YouTube or your own Facebook? Then you just going to kind of fall in line and just do what you got to do, and, you know, and hope for the best, you know, so. But I say keep backups of all your things, man, of all your content, because God forbid, you know, Facebook or, you know, YouTube just goes under and your content will be lost with it. So keep backups, you know, so.
Yeah. But, so, like, when you were talking about, like, free, like, it's a free platform. With putting out content, you also kind of have to be, I feel like after watching that, critical on the things you say, the things that you put out, like, mm-hmm. for an example, the whole Kevin Hart thing mm-hmm. with his tweet about the LGBT, not to bring it up again, mm-hmm. but that was a tweet back in the past that mm-hmm. was brought up again. And why was it brought up? You know, that's the question. Why are these things still brought up when it's unnecessary?
I mean, honestly, man, not to get too deep into yeah. the conspiracy side of things, but I feel like somebody was trying to sabotage him. You know yeah. what I'm saying? I don't think it was, you know, I don't even think it was anybody gay that re-brought that tweet up. Like, oh, look what he said here. You right. know what I'm saying? I think it was somebody that was really trying to tarnish his name.
Media.
It could be media. You see what happened yeah. when the friend tried to blackmail him. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Who knows? Yeah. It could be a friend.
Yeah.
I think somebody brought that up on purpose to see him take a L. And it was like, it was messed up because, you know, he had a great opportunity. Kevin Hart hosting the Oscar. I mean, yeah. he's already up there, so that yeah. would have propelled him even more. Yeah. And somebody, I feel like somebody didn't want to see that happen. That's why they brought that up. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like you said, the media was the one making stuff about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't really much people from the LGBTQ community really mad about it. I mean, yeah, yeah, some had their opinions, but, you know, most of them really just wanted to see Kevin Hart shine on that mm-hmm. platform, you know what I'm saying? And back then, the whole, you know, Me Too and LGBTQ, it was a thing, but it wasn't more so like mm-hmm. a thing based on the bad side of what was happening with mm-hmm. it in regard to it. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I just, you know.
Well, all I'm saying is that personality influences behavior. Mm-hmm. When you have a really good personality like Kevin, or as I was telling you, those tests that figure out your personality, what they're doing is they're figuring out your personality so then they can go ahead and manipulate what you're gonna do, mm-hmm. what your behavior will do the next time. How will you be influenced?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a key ingredient that they talk about in yeah. that Netflix series and what you can kind of see based off of what has happened.
I'm gonna watch it because I'm
teaser.
I'm excited. I wanna watch it. And you said it's called Brain Hack.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check that out. I might check it out tonight, depending, yeah. you know, to see.
Yeah.
See what my rest of my itinerary looks like.
Yeah. It's a whole part of the Cambridge Analytica. That was the company that kind of mushed everything together in this dark system. That. So yeah.
Yeah, Cambridge. Yeah. That was
crazy, right?
Man, listen, bro. I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm trying to build my own Cambridge yeah. Analytica right now. Shoot. So
it's happening.
right, exactly. Okay, so I want to learn more about you, you know, but yeah. I want to start from the beginning. So where are you originally from?
Riverside, California.
Riverside, mother.
Hey, I am.
Now that's what's up. Okay, yeah. so you've been in California your whole life. Okay, yes. And you are. And what's your nationality?
I'm Hispanic. Okay. Mexican-American. What's interesting is I'm third generation here, so I don't speak Spanish. Neither do, like, my cousins or my mom or my dad.
Why?
My dad speaks a little bit because we weren't taught by our grandma or great-grandma, grandfather.
Well, teach yourself.
Well, yeah, I kind of do want to, actually. Okay. Not even going to lie. Rosetta Stone or whatever they have now.
I learned in the household because yeah. a lot of my family spoke Spanish. But listening to Spanish music.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've listened to it before. Like, I grew up listening. It's the funny thing about it is that I feel like I've grown up like a Mexican, but I don't speak it. Like, the culture, I resonate with it. So, partying, dancing, Mexican music.
Yeah.
You know, just on the surface of it, you know, like, I can't.
They got there.
Yes, beers, drinking every weekend, like the whole lifestyle of what you think a Mexican lives, I've lived.
Yeah.
But I don't sound like I speak Spanish. I don't, sometimes people think I'm white, Hawaiian, whatever it may be, or they just think that I speak Spanish, and so it gets kind of confusing when someone asks me, oh, what are you? I say I'm Mexican. Oh, where are you from? I don't know exactly I don't know where exactly.
I'm from the cartel. Right? Any more questions?
But so I did take the 23andMe test, right? Because I wanted to know. Interesting enough, it said that I was 44% European, and that was like kind of it. Like, so I think that it doesn't really tell you exactly pinpoint where you're from. It tells you where your ancestors are from.
Yeah. I got you. Okay.
But it didn't say anything about Mexico.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you don't even know if you're really Mexican.
And then it said Native American.
Oh, okay.
Native American and European. But what happens is we all, like, our ancestors originated from Europe,
mm-hmm.
from Mexico, like, have traveled. So I feel like that's not that accurate. I feel like it's 50% accurate. And actually, I researched it, and I looked on the app. And if you do take a 23andMe, you will see at the bottom of the app, you can change it to how accurate this test result is, and it will say 50%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So it's...
I mean, I was always interested to see where my ancestry came from and stuff like that. So I may check that out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I was actually checking, I think, through Ancestry.com. And I got to the last page. There was like, proceed to checkout. I'm like, checkout. I gotta take this shit.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I'm going to just ask my mother.
just ask your mom or ask for a gift. Like, I got it as a gift.
Yeah, like, you got any pictures?
Yeah.
Nah, that's what's up. Okay. Yeah. So, was being what you do now your first dream, or did you have other dreams prior to stepping into this business field that you're in?
I had prior dreams.
Like?
So, when I was in high school, I actually wanted to do acting in commercials really bad.
Mm.
And I wanted to do it so much that I didn't have a license yet, or I was like, I kind of had my, what is it called? That blue slip, like that you kind of have it, but you need someone to drive with you. I don't even remember what it's called.
Oh, permit?
Permit. I had my permit, right? And so I asked my sister, I said, drive down with me to this, it was an agency, right? And I brought a picture and I kind of made like, you know, did my hair and I said, I'm gonna get into this agency because I really want to act and I want to like, I think I can do it. Like, so, she went with me. We drove out to the agency, and they wanted me, you know, but then it costed money. And I was only in high school, and my parents weren't really into the scene, you know. So I did go back and ask my dad, hey, I really want to do this. Can you help me with it? Like, I'll pay half. And so he was going to help me with it, but it would be hard in the sense of getting there. Because I was only in high school and I was trying to finish high school. And so I didn't end up living it out what I really wanted at that point.
Do you regret that?
I kind of do. I wish I would have moved a little bit faster and believed in it at the time. Because no one else was going to do it but me. You know? Like I was only one that was into it. And I think that's hard when you don't have the support of like family, especially at a young age, where you have this big wild dream and you want to do it, but you don't know how to get there. And I didn't proceed to like really do that because of money, because of transportation, because of being young minded, you know. You know, there was also, I was also in basketball, track, dance. I was also doing all those things, and I didn't see how I could do all those things, finish high school and do acting and put 100% into that. If I was going to do it, if you're going to do something, you have to really put 100% into it. And so I was juggling a lot of things at the time, which made it hard to really live out what I felt.
Well, the good thing about acting is that it has no age limit.
Right.
So, you know, at a point, maybe it's just, you know, it wasn't the time, you know, things happen on God's time, you know what I'm saying? You got all this stuff going on. Maybe you should focus on building a solid foundation with that so you can do acting, you know what I'm saying? And not worry about, you know, how am I going to pay these bills, that. Because with acting, me being a full-time actor as well, it's like, it's not as consistent as you want it to be in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a lot of this. So during these times, you got to have stuff maintaining in the middle, you know what I'm saying? So that's my advice to you, is get your solid foundation right with everything you're doing, and then do acting on the side until you get that opportunity that allows you to do it full time, you know what I'm saying? So but you're heading in the right direction, because it's like I told you before, I came out here to do music, ended up doing acting, and now I'm meeting everybody I wanted to meet in music through acting. And that's what opened the doors to become a business development consultant, a podcaster, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the doors just coming in like that. But the fact that I got in the building. It don't matter if I came through the front, came through the window, through the chimney, I got in the building. So it's like, that's what you really want to focus on. Get in the building, which you are, and then work your way up the stairs, elevator, until you get to that boss office.
You know? And I think it all happened for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. I think that it kind of made me go to these hard places that I think I wasn't capable with of, not with, but of, and I think that with school and everything, like, I never really wanted to go to college. So from high school going to into college, I would have just stopped right there and not finished school. Mm. But it made me more confident in what I was capable of. So, like, as far as taking accounting classes, taking all these, like, really business-savvy classes that I didn't think I could do, I completed all of that. And then my confidence level was just that much more, and I became more interested in the business side of how things work. And I think that helps now, because if I didn't do all of this stupid schooling, like, stupid tests, like, I'm gonna just say it, like, it's dumb. I mean, people out there might feel like school is not for me, but I felt the need, and I've always felt the need to challenge myself with things that I don't know, because why would you want to only feed yourself the easy things, the good things, or the things that you're comfortable with? Like, my thing was always doing things uncomfortable, because that's just going to add value to yourself.
Yeah, you like a challenge.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you know, challenges make us better, stronger.
So I've always struggled, and figured out a lot.
Okay. Yeah. So how'd you get into hosting and, you know, being a blogger and stuff like that? Like, what was the, what provoked that idea?
So my last year of college, 2018, I felt like I could really connect with people. They would just talk to me for a long time. And I've always loved getting people's stories, just like you do with this podcast. I love listening and learning from people. So I decided to start this podcast called Street Stories. And I would go out on campus. I would set up my microphone, my board, and video everybody walking through. And I would just ask them random questions every week. Like, I think it was on Valentine's Day, actually. Today is Valentine's Day. But during that year, the question was, what's the most romantic gesture you've experienced in your life? And so people would come with these stories, and it was just interesting because you would think people wouldn't want to stop and talk to you. Like, they would be bothered by you. They would kind of feel like they're, you know, the salespeople kind of like handing out cards or whatever. Like, I was like, I felt like that kind of, but then in reality, when I started doing these like little episodes, people wanted to talk. They wanted you to interview them. They wanted you to hear their story. They wanted to be listened to. So I felt like there was a need for my energy with people, because I made them feel comfortable in telling me all this. Even if they were uncomfortable coming up to me, they ended up just like telling me all this about their life, you know, and then they wanted to connect. So I was like, well, you know what? The career move would be hosting. So I reached out to every radio personality and researched them, looked at what their journey was, and I kind of mirrored what they had to do to get there. So every person that they were mentored by, I reached out to. So Liz Hernandez was one of the females in the industry that I looked up to. Her mentor was Big Boy. So I went where she was. She had an event, her Wordiful event, went there, met Big Boy, boom, talked to Big Boy, asked him if I could go to the studio to kind of observe everything. I ended up there. And because I really wanted to see if it was something I could do, or see how it is in real life. So that's what happened. And then through that, I interviewed Doc Winter, who is, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's basically the director of everything that goes on in urban planning in the radio world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's big time. So I got to interview him about his career, his life in the radio world. So I went even above Big Boy. I went to Big Boy's boss. So I kept stepping up in who I was interviewing. I was like, oh, really? Like, I can interview these people. I can interview anybody, you know? And I learned a lot from the industry in that sense. And that's kind of how I got into hosting. Mm-hmm. And as far as being a host currently now with Dash Radio and Tastemakers, that came through doing all of this.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So okay. How did you link up with Ian and Guy, you know, to start the whole Tastemaker?
I'll break it down. So that was the year, what I just explained to you was what I did my last year of college. Then I reached out for internships, and Dash Radio is a developing app, developing radio station, which I love because their platform is just so open. You can create whatever you want with no restrictions right now. So Tastemakers Media, it was a radio, or is currently a radio show on that platform. So I started interning with that, or if Tastemakers Media on the Dash Radio platform. And that's where Ian and Emil came through. They started Tastemakers Media just as Dash started out from the very beginning. So I became a radio personality with the Tastemakers show. And basically, Tastemakers Media is all about talking about evolving music. It could be electronic, hip-hop. We focus on the, I would say, like, the tastemaking of the industry. You know, what's hot and what's developing, what is we're bringing back from the past to present. Like, it's that's kind of the general explanation of, like, what the show is all about. So, yeah. So then I started interning with them. And fast forwarding to to my show, I got my show called Plug Talk. And so that's how I became the host of my own show with Dash Radio.
Right, learning and interning under Guy. I call him Guy.
Guy. You know, we have a Tastemakers, it's funny because we have a few names, like Ian, that's his main name. And then it's his DJ name is Havoc. Because we were all a creative before we started evolving our own businesses, right? So that's how Emil is. Like, his name is the broker because he would broker out deals.
Right.
And then Emil. And then I actually don't know where Guy. I told him to change it back to broker.
I call him Guy because that's how I met him on Instagram. And then I'm okay, Guy. I know that guy.
Yeah, and then we have our Instagram names that, you know, people go by. So, like, Vanessa and then V the Plug, you know. Someone named me that. So that's how I got that name.
That's good. You don't plug. You put things together.
Well, yeah, connect the dots, you know, plug in. So
that's what's up. So tell me, what do you see yourself in the next, let's say, 5 years? What's the goal?
In the next 5 years, I want to own my own business, as in knowing everything about let me rephrase this. Right now, Plug Talk is on Dash Radio, and they kind of own the rights to, like, what I do. But if I had the opportunity to have my own show on TV and work with really great people, that would be my goal. To just own my own show, own my own business, and know everything about it. Like, you know, because now when you're trying to develop a business or a company, there's always someone else kind of in control that you have to work with to learn it. But I want to manage it, my own business. That's kind of like the goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're on your way. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep taking those steps, you know, make that LLC, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. You haven't done that with
your... No, I haven't yet.
You got to, man. You got to get ownership because somebody
maybe
else...
Maybe you can help me.
I got you, man. It's as simple as going online and be like, how to start an LLC. That's what I do. You know, and trademark your Be The Plug
brand. I know. That's... I should have done that a while ago, but...
Yeah, do that ASAP. Yeah. At least before this comes out. You know, right? Like, she got this and she incorporated it. I'm taking it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
you'd be surprised how you know, people creep up on those who are less knowledgeable. Because it's nobody's business to teach you business, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's people out there that take advantage of that. So you got to stay sharp. You know what I'm saying? But now that's cool, man.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you had like crazy experiences dealing with the tastemakers. I mean, I saw when when I met you in person, y'all were filming for Kevin Hart. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? How was, like, and then y'all went to, with Kevin to Miami. So yeah. Tell me about these experiences you're encountering, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's funny. The relationship with tastemakers and Kevin is awesome because obviously the tastemakers have been putting in work to get where we're at right now. And the fact that I actually stuck around for so long as an intern was for like, you know, a year. And then I just continued to stay around, even though there was no pay through Dash Radio or anything. I just love working with great people, and I saw the potential in who I was working with. So I've been with them for 3 years, and this past year, they've been actually with Kevin for 2 years. And this year, I just stepped on to take on the role of doing social media for Kevin Hart and the Plastic Cup Boys. So all the social media you see on Straight From The Heart Radio on Sirius Radio is
Be the plug.
Me plugging you in. I'm plugging you into just behind the scenes, how the show goes. And once again, like, I'm obsessed with storytelling and really identifying what people's roles are. And with that group of guys, there's so many great things about each one of them. Mm-hmm. They all have a different personality, mm-hmm. and they all mesh together on the show, in a certain way. And that's why the show is so interesting, because you see brotherhood, you see funny moments, and obviously you see Kevin, who everybody loves, mm-hmm. you know? So, that's kind of my role, is capturing moments of the show for social media. And I'm blessed that on Christmas, I had the opportunity to attend the Christmas party. Nice. So what really happened there, and I indirectly was interviewing, like showing them what I was about. Mm-hmm. And for the Christmas party, they had a $500 prize for the ugliest Christmas sweater. So Ian calls me and he's like, hey, you're cordially invited to Kevin Hart's Christmas party. I was like, what? I was like, okay, cool. Like,
yeah, no big deal. Ian would say, you're cordially invited. Yeah.
So he said, he told me about the ugly sweater. So I said, shoot, like, this was basically the day of. So I had like 6 hours to figure out an ugly sweater. Mm-hmm. So I went out to Melrose at a vintage shop, found a sweater, and it said bottoms up, and it had these plastic cups on, red cups on it, and it had a bear on it. And I was like, this is the one. And then I thought of printing out their faces, all the guy, the Plastic Cup Boys and Kevin, printing out their faces onto you know, putting them on the sweater, on the cups, and so, like, kind of calling them ugly. And so, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is a corny idea. I mean, they're comedians. I'm not, but I'm just going to go with my idea and stick with it. Right. So, I showed up to the party and had real plastic cups on me, glued those on. And mind you, I'm not, like, artistic in the sense of painting, writing, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe it could be in the sense of Picasso, because I'm not good at that. So this was like another confidence booster that helped me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I could really glue on some things onto a Christmas sweater. Like, it's not that hard. So I ended up putting it together, and it ended up turning out really well, and I won at the Christmas party.
Oh, you won!
Yeah.
Oh,
I won.
Snap!
And
that's
it wasn't
cool.
500; it was 1,000.
That's
what I'm talking about. So, $1,000 cash, like, during Christmas especially, was definitely needed.
Hell of a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Nah, that's awesome, man. So, yeah, I see a lot of great things for you, like sticking within that network and expanding your brand, you know what I'm saying? And what does Be The Plug do? Well, not Be The Plug, but that is Be The Plug.
Yeah,
what does Plug. Vanessa What does Vanessa do to just chill, to just relax? You had Stella Rose yet?
I have, yeah. It's a little sweet for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I used to drink that when I was 21.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, grow up, kid. Grow up, Danny.
I grew up a little. Yeah. But yeah, I love tequila. But like you said, I've been feeling, and I don't know if it's because I'm turning 30 in March.
Oh, congrats. But welcome to the club.
I do feel like heavy drinking is oh man, it kind of takes a shot on your body if you overdo it. Mm-hmm. I think drinking within moderation, spacing it out, balancing out with what you're doing is fine, but overdoing it sometimes kills your vibe for putting in the work that you need to.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. And it's like, it's hard to dodge in this industry because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot of events that we need at to network and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, you don't want to just say like, yeah. hey, so what's your name? You know, yeah. sometimes the drink kind of breaks
yeah.
the ice.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But alcohol is definitely always around in our industry. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I first started dipping into the industry, I was like, oh my God, like, here's a drink. And you got to balance it out, especially if you're about business and about making it in the industry. A lot of people get stuck there and mm-hmm. they start partying and then it's like, oh, you stay right here. You're not elevating.
Yeah, that's where they get lost yeah. and they get distracted. Yeah. And yeah, and then they lose themselves. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's what mm-hmm. I'm glad I came to L.A. with my girl because mm-hmm. it's like, she keeps me grounded. She keeps me level-headed. And, you know, I'm super-duper faithful. You know what I'm saying? I know it's
yeah.
far-fetched to believe yeah. sometimes. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that that thought of, like, okay, so I have my responsibility yeah. to be a good boyfriend and all yeah. that stuff. So I know what I have to do out here and what mm-hmm. not to do out here. So I automatically, like, okay, I ain't looking at no hoes. Fuck all that. Yeah. This is just business. That's yeah. it. So, you know what I mean? So, if I would have came out here single, it would have been a completely different yep. story. I probably would have ended up back home. You know what I'm saying? Chasing these hoes. You know what I mean? So, it's like, you know, you definitely got to have a clear, level-headed mind to attack this industry.
Cause you're lucky. You're lucky that you have a partner who understands. Because, like, for women, for mm-hmm. myself, that you would think that, you know, you have all these people around you and or all these guys that are interested, but it's not really like that. Like, people get the wrong perception. They're like, oh, beautiful girl, like, she has no problem. It's like, no, there is problems, because essentially what I'm looking for, or what people in my mindset are looking for that are women, is the mindset of where this guy is coming from. Like, if they understand what I want, and they don't need me 24/7 to fulfill their needs and what they want in life. Like, it's a balanced understanding of each other, and moving in this industry, it's difficult to find that.
I agree, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, everybody's busy, everybody got their own thing going on, and some people don't understand the industry we're in. Like, you know, you can have someone who's, let's say, a lawyer, he's mm-hmm. dating you as an entertainer, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, he got to understand that you got to be at these events. You yeah. might, you work with a group of guys, so yeah. he has to be comfortable with that. Yeah. You know, so it's a lot of factors that key in that.
Yeah.
But that's all through getting to know someone phase. You know what I'm saying? Once you get past that yeah. and then you make a decision like, okay, I'm going to rock with this person.
Yeah.
Then you'll move forward. I want to thank you for coming yeah. on the show today. You know, it's been great having you. Yeah. And I look forward to working with you, especially on this boxing endeavor.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to help out with that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, anything I can contribute, let me know to the Tastemakers brand or the Vita Plug brand. You know, mm-hmm. whatever you need, let me know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let the people know where they can follow you and if they want to send some inquiries to work on you for some things.
Definitely. Yeah, so thank you for even reaching out. You know, there's a lot of people that reach out, and then there's some people that, you know, we see that we want to work with, and you were one of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I gotta hit him back up. Yeah. And then we ended up linking up. But yeah, you guys can find me at V the Plug on Instagram, just like it sounds. Mm-hmm. And then my link is right in my bio, so if you want to see my YouTube, my podcast, anything like that, I'm on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can find me.
Well, before we go out, I want to talk about that, you know, as uh-huh. far as like starting your own podcast uh-huh. and really like taking it to the next level. Like, mm-hmm. what steps have you taken to, you know, take your podcast and put it on a platform for mm-hmm. the world to see? You know yeah. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's still a process, mm-hmm. I have to tell you. And the reason why is you can see I'm a marketing director for a sports and entertainment company that are putting together these boxing events. So consistency is key with content, and I still have to get better at that. You know, that's why I need more subscribers. I need more content means more subscribers, more likes and all that. I'm working on that. And the fact that I have taken the step to figure out how to put it on these bigger platforms was key for me. And your question once again.
No, basically, what steps are you taking to take your podcast to the next level?
Yeah, so putting it on all those platforms and then reaching out to people to help me keep it consistent. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at now. So now I have like an editor to help me. I have, someone to be there during the show to make sure the camera's right. Mm-hmm. I have people that I've connected with where I'm like, oh, like they're willing to help me. I'm willing to help them with what they got. So it's all about giving back to others as
collaboration.
Well, collaboration. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what keeps you consistent is being around the right people. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's key because in the past I've started content and then I couldn't finish it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the struggle in this world is keeping content on a consistent basis and keeping it revolving.
Right. No, mm-hmm. I totally agree, man. And
so content you do a really good job at that.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that, man. And honestly, I feel like I can do more at that because it's like, for example, I look at guys like, the Joe Budden podcast, mm-hmm. DJ Vlad. Like, what mm-hmm. I took from Vlad was he puts out the full interviews, right? Mm-hmm. But then he drops sound bites of the interviews consistently until the next podcast is available.
Okay.
So it's like you're keeping people engaged, saying, with the parts that they either they want to see or if they want to watch the full thing. But by the time it's all said and done, the next one's coming out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I started doing more of that now because I used to just put one sound bite out to get people. But I feel like it's going to take more because there's more people doing more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I have to out-hustle the best hustlers.
Yeah, you got it right there. It's about keeping people engaged. And everybody sees things a different way. Some people like the audio. Some people like the visual. Some people can't sit still watching an hour interview. So you have to put it on IGTV. You have to put it on these different platforms where it does take a lot of work. But once you get your rhythm and flow,
mm-hmm.
you're good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. My point. So. I do visual and audio
mm-hmm.
forms of the podcast. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a app called Anchor. You know about Anchor?
No, I don't.
So Anchor is a platform where you can put your audio form of your podcast on there
mm-hmm.
and they'll distribute it to like Spotify, iTunes, and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then you can monetize it based on the amount of people that listen. And
sweet.
Also they give you advertisement opportunities where let's say, okay, promote these sweatpants or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they give you like a 30-minute script and they give you key points to focus on.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll place that audio onto the audio of your podcast and then you get paid off that as well.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But of course, it all boils down to the amount of people listening.
Yeah.
So you got to promote the shit out of it. So, but they give you the platform to host it.
Yeah.
So Anchor is, and I'll show you the app when we get out of here.
That's
Stay tuned for more episodes to come. This has been another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Vegas. Be the plug in the building. Make sure you subscribe to both our channels. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Shout out to my guy, Guy, and my guy, Ian, Tastemaker
Media
in the building, baby. And we out.
We're out. Bye. Peace and love.